9th sutra. Regard most earnestly your own heart, for through your own heart comes the one light which can illuminate life and make it clear to your eyes. Only one thing is more difficult to know, your own heart. Not until the bonds of personality be loosed can that profound mystery of self begin to be seen. Not till you stand aside from it will it in any way reveal itself to your understanding. Then and not till then can you grasp and guide it. Then and not till then can you use all its powers and devote them to a worthy service. Regard most earnestly your own heart. The most basic thing to be understood is, you cannot understand your own nature, your own heart, your own being, because of your personality, because of a false entity which you have created around you. We live encased in personalities. Personalities are false. They are simply masks, faces to be shown to others. But the practice becomes so deep that you forget your original face completely. Showing your false faces to others, by and by you get identified with them and you begin to think that these are your faces. And then your original face, real face, remains hidden. Whatsoever you do, whatsoever you act, whatsoever you say, remember well whether it comes from your heart or from your personality. Make the distinction clear, because that will be a great help for the inner search. When you say to someone, I love you, from where these words are coming? From where? What is the origin of them? Are they coming from your heart? Really, is your heart filled with love? Are they coming just from your personality? Just from your false face? Are you saying them just as a way of manner, formality, etiquette? Or are you saying them for something else as a means? You may desire someone's body. You may desire sex with someone, but then you say, I love you. This saying is just deception. It is better you should say, I desire sex with you and I have no love. Your body is attractive to me. Your body is magnetic to me. But there is no love. It may grow, but right now there is no love, only your body. But if someone says that only your body is attractive to me, no one is going to be in love with the man. You will escape. You will say, what nonsense you are talking. The false face of love must be there. Only then the body can be given or taken. So you go on cultivating the personality. When you are feeling hurt within, sad, even then you go on smiling. Consider whether your smile is just a painted smile on the face, just on the lips, an exertion on the lips, or it is coming from deep down and is spreading on the lips. Whether the source is rooted somewhere deep or there is no source, just a painted smile. When you smile, observe, and you will come to know when the smile is false and when the smile is real. When someone is sad, or someone is in misery, or someone has lost a friend, a beloved, a husband, a wife, you go to him. Your face looks sad, sorrowful. Remember and consider deep within whether this sadness is real or you are just showing it. And deep down you are simply bored. And deep down you are simply preparing how to live. And deep down you are simply thinking of other things, not at all interested in the person, his misery, his suffering, not at all. Go on considering this, and then you will come to know two different layers within you. One, the false, which is the personality. The word personality is very significant. It comes from a Greek word, persona. Persona means the mask. In Greek drama, the actors used masks, false faces. Those false faces were called persona. And from that, the word personality comes. It is beautiful. It means you are acting through a face. It is not you. And you are hiding behind the face because you cannot reveal your real face. I am not saying that go on revealing your real face, necessary, unnecessarily, anywhere. There is no need. Somewhere persona is needed. But be clear that this is persona. This is not you. Inside, you must know when you are acting and when you are real. You must not be deceived by your acting. You must not become identified with your acting. I know faces are needed. Otherwise, it will be difficult to live in society. Very difficult. Faces are good in a way. They facilitate. They work as lubricants. And in a big society, so many people, you need not reveal your reality everywhere. Someone meets you in the morning, you feel disturbed, you think, why I have seen this man's face just in the morning? His face may destroy the whole day. But outwardly you smile and say, good morning, how happy to see you. Inwardly you are not happy at all. But this is okay as far as manners are concerned. This will not be good to say to the man that I am feeling very unhappy. You have disturbed my morning. Your face is dangerous and now I am afraid for the whole day. This will not be good. Unnecessary. Unnecessarily disturbing the other man. No need. But you must know what is mask and what is real. You must be aware what is going on within. That is your real being. And what is going on the face is just a social utility. If you can make a clear-cut distinction between you and your personality, then personality becomes like clothes. You can drop it any moment and become naked. But if you cannot drop it, that means you are so attached with it and the distinction is not there, the separation is not there, there is no gap. The gap is needed. So at least in your room, in your bathroom, you can put all the personality away and become real. At least in meditation, you can throw the personality and become real. Because there is no need. Meditation is non-social. It is not concerned with anyone else. It is concerned only with yourself, so no mask is needed. You can be authentic, but you cannot be because you don't know the distinction. Even in meditation, I feel you are doing many false things. Freud became aware when he first started psychoanalysis. He was not aware. By and by he became aware that patients say things which are not real just to make Freud happy. Just they confirm his theories, because when Freud feels happy, they also feel happy. Later, only after 20 years of psychoanalysis, he became aware that whatsoever they are saying is not real. For example, Freud says that in every disturbance, mental disturbance, sex is the root. So patients will come, they will tell him his disturbances, and then they will reveal that sex is the root of their disturbances. So Freud thought that his theory is confirmed by a thousand and thousand experiments. Later on he became aware that they are lying, many of them, just to make the psychoanalyst happy that his theory is okay. They are confirming to his theory. Sometimes I feel also, when I say go mad and you go mad, I know you are going mad just to make me happy. But there is no need. I am already too much happy. There is no need. Don't do anything which is not real. It is going to help no one. Be authentic. Be real, at least in your meditation, because there you alone are concerned. Tillich has said somewhere that religion is a concern of the individual. Totally personal. Concern with oneself. It is not concerned with anyone else. Religion is individual. So you need not think of anyone else while meditating, not even of me. Be real. Throw the mask. Anything authentic will help you to move inwards. Anything unreal will help you to move outwards. That is the reason why Shankara calls the world illusion. The more you go away from yourself, you are moving into illusion. And the more you go inwards, you are moving into reality. And your personality is the gateway towards illusion, towards unreal, dream world. Throw that gate, throw that bridge completely. At least in meditation, I'm not saying you go and move in the society and be authentic. You will be in difficulty. If you feel happy, you can be. But I'm not saying, don't put the blame on me. Because then the society will create troubles for you. The society don't want your real faces. The society wants your unreal faces. And it is okay with the society. Use the unreal face when you go out. But when you go in, throw that face completely, don't get identified with it, and don't carry it inwards. One day may come, you will become so strong that even in the society you would like to move with the real face, but that depends on you. One day you may become so happy with the real that you may be ready to lose many conveniences that unreal face can give, but that is upon you. First look inwards and at least momentarily put aside your personalities. Far through your own heart comes the one light which can illuminate life and make it clear to your eyes. Only one thing is more difficult to know, your own heart. Not until the bonds of personality be loosed can that profound mystery of self begin to be seen. The personality works as a barrier, and the light from your heart cannot come to you. Discard the personality, even momentarily, temporarily, and the light will flood you, and you will enter in a different world, the world of the heart. Not till you stand aside from it will it in any way reveal itself to your understanding. You have to put yourself aside, your personality, your ego. Not till you stand aside from it will it in any way reveal itself to your understanding. Then and not till then can you grasp and guide it. Then and not till then can you use all its powers and devote them to a worthy service. And before that moment, when you have come into a deep contact with your innermost heart, yourself, you cannot do anything which is good, which is worthy. You cannot be of any service to anyone. Whatsoever you do, even with good will create evil, because the doer is ignorant. What you do is not significant. Who you are is more significant. If you are ignorant, living in total darkness, and the light from the heart has not penetrated you, has not filled you yet, you may have good wishes, goodwill, but whatsoever you will do will result in evil, because nothing good can come out of a dark heart. So don't try to be of any service to anyone unless you have come to the inner light. Then your whole life will become a service. Then there will be no need to make it a duty. Then you will not serve anyone as a duty. Then service will flow out of you spontaneously. And when service becomes spontaneous, with no concept of duty with it, when service becomes love, when you cannot do anything else than serve, when there is no question of making others happy, when really the contrary has happened, you are so happy that now the happiness overflows you and reaches to others. Only then good results from whatsoever you do. And it has happened that without any goodwill, good happens if you are filled with light and happiness. Much goodwill and without inner light is dangerous for others. The persons who are engaged in service of others without any inner sadhana create much mischief. The whole society is suffering from those mischievous persons who go on serving others without in any way being realized in the inner light. Remember this. The first thing is your own self-realization. Service is secondary. And don't think that through service you can realize yourself. Through realizing yourself, you can move into service, not the vice versa. It is impossible to help others till you have obtained some certainty of your own. When you have learned the first 15 rules and have entered the hall of learning with your powers developed and senses unchained, then you will find there is a fount within you from which speech will arise. These notes are written only for those to whom I give my peace, those who can read what I have written with the inner as well as the outer sense. Remember this. It is impossible to help others till you have obtained some certainty of your own. Resist the temptation to help others. It is evil. Unless you have obtained some certainty of your own, don't try to be a guru. Don't try to be a helper, because you will disturb. You will create more problems. Remember well, you cannot help, you cannot guide anyone unless you have got the inner light. When the inner light is there, the help, the guidance will flow from you. But resist the temptation. The temptation is great because ego feels much fulfilled. Someone comes to ask your advice, and the temptation is there to give the advice without knowing what you are doing. Without being aware that you don't know. If someone asks you whether God is, you are not strong enough to say, I don't know. You will say something. Either you will say, yes, God is, and I am a believer. Or you will say, no, God is not, and I am a disbeliever. But in both the cases, you give the advice. In both the cases, you confirm something which you don't know. Remember this for the spiritual seeker, a very basic, very significant point. Whatsoever you really know, only confirm that. If you don't know, it is better to say, I don't know. Someone asked Albert Einstein once, what is the difference between science and philosophy? And his reply is one of the most wise. He said, if you come to a scientist and ask 100 questions, about 99 he will say, I don't know. Only about one he will say, I know, but this too is only relative knowledge. Tomorrow it can change. It is not absolute. If you go to a philosopher and you ask one question, he will give 100 answers. And with absolute conviction that this is so. And if someone says something else, he can be condemned to the hell. He is wrong. That's why philosophy leads nowhere. Answers and answers and answers, leading nowhere. Not even answering a single question and answering so much. Because the basic thing is lacking. The philosopher is not strong enough to say, I don't know. The scientist is more strong. He can say, I don't know. And even when he says, I know, he says, up to now, this is true. But we cannot say anything for tomorrow. Things may change. Many new facts may be known. And then the truth has to be readjusted. I would like to tell you that yoga is also a science. It is not a philosophy. Meditation is a science. It is not a philosophy. Remember this. Don't guide anyone unless you have a certain knowledge, a certain experience. And even then, tell to others that this is my experience. It may not be so for you. It is how I have come to it. Your way may differ. It may not prove true for you. So don't take my advice blindly. You can experiment with it. It is an open experiment. Then you can be of some help. Otherwise, you can create disturbance. Don't get tempted. Don't advise unless you know really, and don't guide. First be a disciple, and don't try to be a master. The mastership will come when your discipleship has become complete and total. The master will emerge within you, but not before that moment, not before that time. Wait for it. It happens.